Turn to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. Let me read a few verses here to you. It's been a good week. There's been good preaching up till now. But verse 33, John chapter 11. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said unto him, "Lord, come and see." And then, of course, the favorite verse, the one that everybody memorizes, Jesus wept. We make, you know, light sometimes of the fact that people know it, but that's a good verse. Nothing wrong with that verse. It's a good verse. It shows you the heart and the compassion of our Savior. When you don't think he cares. And Jesus said to the Jews, "Behold how..." I'm sorry. Then said the Jews, "Behold how he loved him." And some of them said, "Could not this man have, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused even this man should not have died?" Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, came to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." Martha, the sister that was dead unto him, "Lord," said unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days." Father, you're the one who knows what needs to be said, what needs not to be said, and who needs to hear what they need to hear. And so help me to be faithful to do exactly what you've asked me to do. And I think if I do that, you'll do your part. And if they do their part, Lord, somebody will get some help today. I'll ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In my ministry, where I'm at, kind of an unusual pace, not anything like Toledo. And when I first went there back in 1976, there weren't too many preachers in the area. And so when I would have a funeral, I would say to the funeral director, "Look, if somebody needs a minister to do a funeral, I don't charge for them anyways." And I said, I'll be glad to help out. So over these 42 years, I've done just about 100 burials. And so I've had some unique opportunities, believe me. And here, a few years back, I was called by the undertaker. And he said, "Pastor," it was like March, April, and up our way, things were beginning to thaw out. Some of the cemeteries, they can't bury in the winter time there, and they have to wait till late in the spring because there's so much water table is so high. They have to wait till the water goes down. So he called me and he says, "Listen," he said, "I've got a family here. They want to have a memorial, so it's just a burial. They're not going to, you know, they took care of that last fall." He said, "It'll be about 10 o'clock, and if you can be there." And I said, "I'll be there." So I arrived about 9:45, and the vault truck was there, and he was pulling the casket out of this little storage area. And there was just the man who digs the graves, the grave digger, and with his truck, and the funeral director. And they were trying to get the casket up. They picked the casket up, and then they bring it over to the vault and set the casket down in the vault, and then he puts the lid on it. Well, all that takes machinery, you know. So he's running the machinery, and the funeral director's trying to help out a little bit. And me being the nice guy, I volunteered to help. And I got within about 2 foot of that casket. And the most wrenching odor reached my nostrils. And it was at that moment that I realized what Martha meant when she said, "Lord, it's been 4 days, he stinketh." In Genesis 34, and let's turn there for just a second here. I'm going to read you something. I want to talk to you a little bit this morning, as much as the Lord allow me. I want to talk to you a little bit about, do you stink? Now, I know most of you probably took a shower this morning. You remember this incident, what Jacob's boys did. And here's what he said about the incident in verse 30. He said, "And Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, 'Ye have troubled me to make me stink. among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites, and I being few in number, they shall gather themselves together against me and slay me, and I shall be destroyed, I and my house. I just want you to see that when I say, do you stink? You know, I'm not talking about physically necessarily, although if you do, please take care of it. But there's a way that we can stink. And it puts out an odor. Some people might get it and some people might not. But it's not a physical thing. And perhaps you've said something like this. Boy, that stunk. You didn't mean it smelled bad. You just mean it just had a bad taste in your mouth. Or it gave you the wrong feeling. And you'd say that stunk. Look at Jeremiah a minute, 48. We get the preliminaries over and I'll get to the message. If you've pastored any amount of time, or even perhaps as an evangelist, you've run across people that stink. Jeremiah 48, verse 11. Moab has been at ease from his youth, and he hath settled on his lees, and hath not been emptied from vessel to vessel, neither hath he gone into captivity. Therefore, his taste remaineth in him, and watch, and his scent is not changed. He said there's something about him. He seems to be doing the right things, but his scent, his smell, hasn't changed. There is a spiritual lesson to be learned right there. Not everybody who says they're saved and not everybody who says their life has changed has the right scent. Have you ever said something, preacher, like this? Something doesn't smell right here. And you're simply saying that whatever's going on doesn't seem right. Several years ago, my wife and I were at a place. A preacher had asked me to come and preach for him. And he took us in and we went around the church. We were talking and went to his office and met his secretary and so forth. We headed back out to where we were staying. And I said to my wife, I said, is it me? Or does he seem different than the last time we were here? And she says, oh, I don't know. I guess I never got any thought about it. I said, well, something doesn't seem right. Something doesn't smell right. I'm not sure what it is, but I can sense it. Have you ever done that? I mean, you could sense it, but you couldn't put your finger on what it was. My son was telling me about somebody that ran a screw into a water pipe. And the way they found out where the leak was, they poured peppermint in there. And wherever the peppermint smells the loudest or the most, they knew where the leak was. I'm telling you, there are some things that go on sometimes that leave a smell. And you can't always put your finger on just where it is or what it is, but you can smell it. And sure enough, it wasn't 3 months after we left there, he ran off with the secretary. I'm just telling you, whether you realize it or not, your life puts out an odor. And it's either a sweet-smelling odor or it stinks. As a verb, the word implies to cause to stink or otherwise be offensive. Mr. Webster says an informal usage of this word is an unpleasant fuss, a scandal. Right here in this town, I don't know any of these churches, but my son has filled me in a few times. And there's some smells around here from churches that aren't very good. Matter of fact, some of them stink. But have you ever noticed that a dog doesn't care? Huh? Did you ever watch a dog eat his vomit? He doesn't go, I got to do this because the Bible said so, but I hate the smell of it. You ever watch a pig eat? He doesn't care what it smells like. He just eats it. You get the point, right? All right? If somebody can put up with that stench, that must mean they enjoy the stench themselves. All right. So we have an altar call at this point, or just wait? 1 Corinthians 13. Now, I'm not smooth like Brother Mark. I'm just crude. Okay? I just come across with it like it is, and, you know, Brother Havman. Yeah, well, anyways. Love you, brother. I hope you enjoy the oatmeal. How to win friends and influence enemies. Verse 11, 1 Corinthians 13. When I was a child. Okay. When I was a child, my granddaughter does a babysitting job, and she had the ward with her here at church the other day, and when I got here, and she said, "Hi, Grandpa," and came running down the hall and gave me a hug like grandkids should. And she had this little guy with her. She said, "Oh, this is the little boy I'm taking care of." And he said, "Little boy, I'm not a little boy." I said, "Sonny, you are more than a little boy." He said, "When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I kept the same habits." Let me ask you something about your demeanor. What's your demeanor smell like? There's a time to quit whining. There's a time to stop pouting. There's a time to quit holding grudges. You know, I wish adults could learn what kids learn. They get in a fight. I'm going to take my ball bat and I'm going home. And the next day they're back together out there playing. They get over it. There are people in churches, maybe in this one here, you've been holding a grudge on somebody for 25, 30 years. Well, you know what they did to me back there when I had that 54 Chevy? And by the way, brother, probably before you was born, I was driving a Corolla in Okinawa. Magenta, by the way. Former taxi cab, by the way. You kids. Brother Sal, I can say that now, and I'm an old man. Yeah. What is demeanor? Is conduct or behavior? You remember when David, now I'm not going to look it up, 1 Samuel 2. You remember when David framed himself as a, you know, man has gone along and he spittle and drool down his lips, and the guy said, "What do I need a madman for?" And I haven't been in my church. We ain't that big, but I haven't been in my church over the years. You know, people who just can't get over something. I can't believe they did that to me. I said, "Aren't you thankful that God doesn't have the same attitude you have about it? Just suppose how many times you've hurt God. How many times has your stinking demeanor made God look bad? How many times have preachers heard this? Does so-and-so go to your church?" I really refrain from answering that question. Because I know what's going to follow that, Brother Roger. What's going to follow that is, "You know what they said? Do you know where I saw them?" I mean, these are lost people. And some of them seem to have more sense in how the church should act than church people. Titus 2:3, if you want to turn there real quick, we'll just look at that. Titus 2:3. You young people, what you should do is learn about your behavior from the Bible, not from your peers or from your parents. Titus 2, verse 3. "The age of women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness." Just stop right there. That's all I want you to read. Now, I look on this auditorium this morning, I see some aged women. Isn't the Lord sweet? He didn't say some old ladies. He said some aged women. I've been preaching this, did a series about three sermons on Sunday night on this text right here. And I said, you know what some of you older ladies ought to be doing? And don't you think it's interesting that the Bible says that they're to teach them to love their husbands? See, you girls over here, you're going to marry a guy and you think you love him until he doesn't throw his underwear in the basket. Oh, listen, I conduct weddings and I just recently did one. 3 weeks later, I get a phone call. She come in the house upset and slammed the door and told me to mind my business. You married her, bud. I tried to tell him, brother, premarital counseling, what a joke. That's a joke. Why? How can you tell somebody how marriage is going when they ain't never been married? I know more about marriage right there on that fingernail than you ever think you're going to know about it. You got a good warning earlier. Watch who you pick. But the aged women, they're supposed to be teaching these younger women how to love their husbands. Why? Because you have learned, sis, and you have learned, and my wife has learned how to live with a man who's contentious at times. How to live with a man who doesn't put away stuff. How to live with a man who can't find the socks in the top drawer right there. Honey, where are my socks? In the top drawer, right on the right side. They are not. She comes in and goes, what are these? And that's why some younger ladies get a bad demeanor. They stink when their attitude about their husband is because some of the older women haven't taught them how to love that man despite what he is. And if you love him, you know what he'll do? He'll come around. He'll want to do what pleases you. But when, listen, lady, sweetheart, listen, none of you do, don't antagonize him. Don't keep calling him. If you weren't so stupid, you could find something. He'll find somebody that's sweet. Hey, I've been at this 42 years. I've been at this 42 years. I have put together 25 weddings. And I always tell people, listen, I would rather bury you than marry you. Because if I bury you, you're not coming back and give me any trouble. I always make them say this part here, that the woman will obey her husband. I always make them say that part. And a young man told me, we're at the night before the wedding, we're doing all the practice stuff. And he says, you know, I don't think I want that part. I said, you got 24 hours to find another preacher. So let me ask you this question while we move on here. Good night. All right. Does your demeanor stink? Do people like to be around you, or do they see you come and they go, oh, what are you smiling about? You must not be married. Romans 13. If you sit up front, you're always attacked by me. I will get you. Romans 13. Now, I like to turn in the Bible. It's been a habit of mine all those years. I like to turn the Bible so people can see what I'm reading. I don't want people to go, well, the preacher said it. Maybe I said it wrong, but I want you to see it. If I say it wrong, you can just lean over and go, he can't even read. That's Anthony and I. We can't read. Neither one of us can read. And we're from public school in Michigan. My brother Anthony. Hey, your family's good anyways. Verse 13, chapter 13, let us walk honestly in the day. Not in, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. What are you doing out there on the street with the BLM sign? What are you out there in the streets, you know, about abortion? Listen, I think it's murder. I understand that. But you know what, Christian? You get so caught up in that stuff, you forget what you're supposed to be doing. Now, he said, how many saints, he didn't say this, I'm saying this, how many saints have a double walk? On Sunday, they got one walk. On Monday, they got a different one. How is it that that you don't realize that when you walk with the Lord, you're supposed to walk at 24/7. You realize that your walk could be hypocritical? Galatians 2. Galatians 2, look at verse 14. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as the Jews? I'm not preaching about what Peter's doing here. I want you to see there's two ways you can live. You can talk one way out this side of your mouth and live the other way out the other side. And Christianity is full of people whose walk stinks. Your testimony to the church makes... Listen, I tell my people, listen, I'm going to tell you something. When you go out here, when I tell them this much. We're usually in the 4th of July parade. I like to be in there because we can hand out 2,000-3,000 tracts and everybody takes them. Okay? But I said, I'm going to tell you something. I've had guys come out, oh, you can use my truck. And I said, I'm going to tell you something. When you get in the parade with your truck and Bible Baptist Church is on the side of it, you are marked. They say, they go to that church? Look at Ephesians 5. Sometimes silent excites me. Because I realize you don't know whether to say amen or shut up. Ephesians 5:15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools. Not as fools. So if you don't walk cautiously, you're a what? I didn't.
Now listen, brother.
Okay, just thought I'd throw that in there. He was a dear mentor, and I tell you, I appreciate him. There was a young man, his name was Jimmy. He heard a family rumor that his father, his grandfather, and even his great-grandfather all walked on water on their 21st birthday. When the day of his 21st birthday came, he believed that if they could do it, he could do it. Listen carefully. So off he went in the boat with his friend Eric, and when they got to the middle of the lake, he jumped out and sank right to the bottom of the lake. Managed to get himself back up at the top, and his friend helped him in. When he got home, he said, Grandma, how come I didn't get the blessing they got? She says, what do you mean, honey? He said, well, they all walked on water on their 21st birthday. Oh, she said, honey, they were born in February, not in August. Just because somebody else doesn't mean you can do it. Well, they do it. My kids can tell you what that amounts to. Just because they did it doesn't mean you're doing it. My mama, God bless her heart, she was a terrible woman. I'd say, Mama, can I go? And she'd say, no. And I said, but Mama, she'd say, what, Paul? Mama, they're all doing it. She'd say, correction. I'm not doing it. Your dad's not doing it. Your brother's not doing it. Your sister's not doing it. And you're not doing it. So we all ain't doing it. I'm going to tell you something there, Mr. Marshall. You do know my mama followed me to college? She did. You said, your mama went to college? Yeah, she was there. I got up on the first Sunday morning. I got in college the first Sunday morning. And I went like this, Brother Leafley. I don't have to go to church today because I'm not home. And my mama from the back side of me said, yes, you do. Where was mama? I don't know, but she was there. So don't ever give up, parents, because what you're doing is you're implanting your impressions and your ways into their minds, and one of these days they'll think you're there when you're not there. was I? So let me ask you this question. Does your walk stink? Is the same odor that's supposed to come out of here on Sunday, does it come out on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. How about your thoughts? Where are they at? Do you have control over those? Probably not. Average man doesn't have all of his thoughts under control. And with the music of this world and the pictures in this world and the way ladies dress in this world, the way women dress in this world, ladies wouldn't dress like that the way ladies dress in this world. Hard sometimes for a man to keep his thoughts where they ought to be. I'm not saying that you're thinking the wrong thing. I'm just saying it's hard to do. That's a fight that you're going to make. And that's why over the years, I've had a couple times where I've had to send my daughter and son-in-law were youth leaders there. And I've had to send my daughter to a particular young lady and say, tell her to please put her legs down. Because from the pulpit, what you don't realize, ladies, and you don't have such a much problem here as I do, but mine's a little lower, so it gives it. But you don't realize what a pastor. I've had to preach on this side of the pulpit on Sunday because I couldn't bend on that side. Well, what's the amens now? Where are they at? Sure, talk about the dress. I said godly. Whatever's godly, that's what it says, godly. I didn't say anything. Amen. You can wear one 48 inches above your head, as far as I'm concerned. People, you start preaching, they go, there he goes again. Goes again where? I didn't go anywhere. I'm still here. I didn't go anywhere. The Bible's still there. It says godly like it's always said. Is that the way God would present himself? Okay. Proverbs 16:3. I think I'm still within my time limit there. Brother John, you can throw something if you want. Just be sure it's ice cream. Proverbs 16, look at verse 3. Commit thy works unto the Lord and listen. Commit thy works unto the Lord and thy what? Thy thoughts shall be what? You know what your problem of it is that you're not committing. You're not committing yourself to the Lord. Look at Proverbs 24. Now realize this is the Old Testament. Okay? And I realize we're not supposed to preach from the Old Testament. We're just supposed to preach from the Pauline epistles in this age. I understand that. Okay? But I'm not one of you. I believe the whole Bible was given for us. Given to us. Everything in it isn't for us, but everything in it was given to us. I mean, there's stuff in there that the devil and Job talked, or not the devil and Job, the devil and God talked about Job, which wasn't for me, but I can learn from it. All these things are written for our admonition. Bless God. All right. Proverbs 24, look at verse 9. The thought of foolishness is what? I'm going to ask a question. I do not want you to raise your hand. I don't want you to smile. Brother Rogers, quit it. And you too, ma'am. Have you had a foolish thought today? Brother David sitting back there, yeah, you've had two or three of them, and one of them is being an oatmeal. Do you see how, what I'm trying to show you is this, do you see how easy it would be for you to sin and not even realize you're doing, how easy it would be if all you do is act foolish? That's wrong. We all have moments where we have some fun, and that's okay, all right? We had some fun here with brother, and he took it. Did you take it all right, brother? Because I really don't care, but I was just asking if you took it all right. Okay. I'm just going to tell you, listen to me. Your thoughts can change. How many of you have been, you can do whatever you want here. How many of you ever been in a Walmart? And they play the symphony music and stuff, you know, that's real pleasant to hear. I don't know what Walmart you went into, but you didn't go in mine. But you ever, now those of you who are in the world, now some of us weren't there, well some of us were, but anyways. Have you ever heard a song playing and the first thing you do is pretty soon you, those words are starting going through your mind, you know. There you are singing the Beatles song and you're going, what am I doing? Let me ask you about your thoughts. Do your thoughts stink? James 3:10. We're just about done here. Then you get to hear some good preaching. That's why he had me first. He wanted to get past that lump. Yeah, the first time I get him to say amen, raise his hand. James 3:10, this point's for you, my brother. Okay. Verse 10. Out of the same mouth, this is for you, brother. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brother, these things ought not to be so. So it's either you bless me or curse me. Which is it? All right. Okay. I know a guy, and let me tell you something. Out of this mouth comes how good God is to me and how blessing is God. Out of this mouth is. Literally. I hate to be around him, calls himself a brother. Now let me tell you something else that goes on. While I'm on this subject, I might as well stop here for a second. I got about a second, do I? When I was a boy, and don't kid yourself, I once was. When I was a boy, we were Quakers. Yay, yay, and nay, nay. Oh, no. We didn't say things like, oh, heck. Mama. Oh, what a wicked mother I have. Pray, it's really here. It bothers me all my life. You're my granddaughter and you love your grandpa. And you pray for grandpa that what the meanness his mother did to him would. My mother would have washed my mouth out with soap. You say, oh, shoot. Now, some of you completed that without me doing it. You say, what are you saying? Out of the same mouth ought not to proceed blessing and cursing. You say, well, that's Christian cursing. Okay, is that in the book of Ezra? The book of Enoch? Oh, that's the real books. Yes, they are. Go online. In the last book I wrote on angels and devil, I go online and show you where they. One writer says Peter must have been copying from the book of Enoch. The book of Enoch? Yeah, your mother's babushkas. Ephesians 4:29. I got to end it up here. Okay, Ephesians 4:29. I got to end it somewhere. Brother John says you ended about 2 minutes after you started. If you don't know. 4:29. Let no, now just follow me. I'm just reading you the old King James book. I'm not doing anything but reading, okay? Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. I guess if it's corrupt, I mean, you have a definition that says some things that are corrupt really aren't really corrupt. Like people say, well, that's not as bad as, is it bad? Okay. So he says this. He says, goes on, he says, but use of edifying that it may minister grace to the hearers. So corrupt means, according to Mr. Webster, change from sound state to a putrid state. Spoiled, tainted, vitiated, unsound. Let me give you this, and then we're done. If I can find it, here it is. Thousands of Tasmanian devils, you know what those little creatures are, have died from a rare type of cancer. Devil facial tumor disease is what they call it, DFTD. Don't worry about that. Scientists discovered that the cancer began in the mouth of a single devil and spread through the bites of that devil. Tasmanian devils bite each other around the mouth very frequently, and this cancer spread through the bites. And over the course of several years, over 40% of the Tasmanian devil population has died because of this cancer. Do you recall a little verse that Paul said something to this effect? That we weren't supposed to bite and devour one another? That's not an exact verse quote, but you understand what I'm saying? So let me ask you this question about your talk. Does it stink? Does it send forth a Savior that would make people want to follow what you believe and go where you go and what church you go to? Does it make them want to love Jesus more? Or does it make them say, I thought they called themselves a Christian? Lord, we can't pull that stone back. He's been dead for 4 days and he stinketh. And I'm not so sure there aren't among us in every church in America, particularly independent Baptist churches, which I'm familiar with, that there aren't people who have, that they stink. Physically, they got perfume on or cologne or whatever, but spiritually, Father, thank you for this opportunity. These folks needed something better than what I could have, but I hope that you can take and do something with it. You know the hearts of these people, and Lord, you know the what's been going on all this week and how to tie things together. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.